said. So as we pick up, let me just do a quick review as we look at these feasts, and then I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture that I'm going to need somebody to take a look at. There's a historical aspect to the feast, the first four in particular. So you want to look at the history. That's why we're going to be in Exodus 12. There's a messianic aspect, because these feasts are all appointments that are fulfilled. There's a spiritual aspect. You can have a whole lot of knowledge, but if you don't understand spiritually what it means to us, then you'll miss it. And then there's the traditional Jewish aspect.
Yeah. Thank you. Right there.
There's the traditional Jewish aspect. And as you look at that, that gives you more of what the real tradition behind this is. So we'll be looking at all four of those things. Let me say them again. There's a historical aspect, a messianic aspect, the fulfillment of these appointments. There's a spiritual aspect, okay, what's it mean to us today? And then there's that Jewish traditional aspect, so you can understand some of the Jewish tradition that was woven into the Lord's feast. With that said, we look at Passover. Passover is the very first feast. I need somebody to turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. I think it's Leviticus 23, because we're very close to another feast here that's going to kind of bleed over into this. And I think I'll do my review off of Exodus. All right. And if you don't have last week's, if I don't get it up posted, just send me an email or a text with your email, and I'll send the link. Who's got Leviticus chapter 23? I think it's verse 6. All right.
Verse 6?
Yep.
Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the feast of unleavened bread of the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread.
Okay, so the 14th, this is important. The 14th is Passover. The Jewish day goes from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. All right? So, Passover is on the 14th. Something has to happen on that day, both historically, from the messianic fulfillment, and the spiritual aspect of that. All right? And that Passover represents the cross. The very next day is a special feast day, and these are holy convocations. They treat them like holidays or Sabbaths. And that's called unleavened bread. Something has to happen on that day as well. Alright? I think that's about as far as we're going to be able to get. We're still on Passover. The reason why I had to bring up unleavened bread is because we're getting very close. Because one happens right after the other. Alright? Okay. So, quick review. We looked at Exodus 12. And we saw that the Lord, and Exodus 12 and 2, He changed the calendar. He said what used to be the seventh month is now going to be the first month, and what used to be the first month is now going to be the seventh month. So He changed the calendar. That's historical. Alright? Messianic aspect is this is the passion or the first work of Christ to reconcile us back. This is the cross. The spiritual aspect is, somebody take a look at Luke 9, verse 23 through 25. I get somebody to turn to Luke 9, verse 23 and 25. That gives you the spiritual aspect of why we should be studying this and concerned about this today.
23 through 25. Then He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me.
How often do you take up your cross?
Daily. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed?
There's a spiritual application to Passover and why this is so important. It is the first step. It is the humility. It is the first step in having a relationship with Christ. If you are not humble, you are not in the game. Plain and simple. What does it mean to be humble? If you don't pick up your cross on a daily basis, you ain't in the game. That's your ticket in the door. What does it mean to pick up my cross? It means I need Christ and I'm coming to Him because I am in need. If you're old school and you need a hymn, I need thee every hour.
It's one of the things, though, that the enemy, Satan, whispers in our ear, or his workers of iniquity whispers, you don't need that. You go ahead with what you're thinking.
That takes you all the way back to the temptation in the wilderness, in which the devil said, wait, why are you waiting on God? Why don't you take matters into your own hand? As soon as he turns stones into biscuits, he's out of the game. Got to pick up your cross daily. And I'm not that good. I got to pick it up every hour. Minute by minute. All right. Exodus 3, again, this is just review. The lambs brought into the house on the 10th day. We saw in Scripture that Jesus comes into Jerusalem on the 10th day. The 10th day, what day would that be? We went over that. He would have come in, when we looked at the Gospel of John, he would have come into Jerusalem on the 10th day, all right, before Passover. That would have been that Sunday. It would have been what we call Palm Sunday. You examine the lamb for 4 days. You examine Christ for 4 days, and you find no blemish in the lamb, because he is the Lamb of God, as John outlined, all right? Just amazing that Exodus 12 is talking in the timeline specifically what Christ fulfills, because it's associated with that first feast. All right, Exodus 12 and 6, we already looked at this, it's just review. The 14th day of the same month, the whole assembly and congregation will kill it in the evening. That's a Hebrew idiom, which means between the evenings, which means 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Christ is crucified, which is the ninth hour. We see that in Matthew 27. We will look at Matthew 27 again today. It will blow your mind. So if somebody wants to already turn to Matthew 27 to get ready to read that, I promise you, I got to get out of here quickly today, but we're not going to get out before you see Matthew 27. Awesome! Matthew 27. All right. So the same time that the Jewish leaders are having church and killing the Passover lamb outside of the temple, it's the same day that Christ is doing it for real. Shame. You can be religious and still miss
it. 27.
Pardon me?
Matthew 27.
Oh, yeah, you can start at verse 35, but we're going to be rolling through that. There's a couple of little nuggets in Matthew 27 that we need to stop off and pick up on. All right? Okay. All right. Verse 7, I told you it's another Hebrew idiom of such. You take the blood, you strike it on the side, you strike it over the top, you strike down the other side. It looks like an upside down U. That is the eighth letter, eight. Being the number of new beginnings in the Bible, and that letter is the eighth letter of the Jewish alphabet, is called the Tet, and is symbolic of the Hebrew symbol for life. So you're putting life outside your door. You're trusting in God for your life, that he'll pass over your sins and give you life. Spiritual application, you can know what to do. But if you don't apply it, it doesn't work. And the mere fact that they're putting the blood on the outside of the door, you got to kind of be asking yourself, man, people are going to be walking by the house going, what's all that blood outside the door for? That's kind of strange. That's kind of weird or whatever. God's not looking for undercover Christians.
Peculiar people.
He's looking for you to be able to express, and people should be able to see the blood in effect on your life.
It's an outward expression of your faith.
It is an outward expression of your faith. Exactly.
I mean, even then, that was...
That was a big outward expression of your faith. You got blood outside. What's going on with that? But when God sees the blood applied, you get passed over. All right, now we talked about the whole... little bit of the Seder meal thing, how you eat it, let nothing return, because we're talking about the lamb, which is the word of God, all right? I can't remember where we left off at, but let's take a look at Exodus 12 and 11, and so this will be new stuff. And then I'll just tell you as we go along a little further here. All right, so Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. And you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Why are they eating it in haste? Because as soon as you eat the Passover meal, you got to get ready. It's packing day. It's moving day. All right? Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Why the firstborn? Because God takes out the firstborn, because that's your future, that's inheritance or whatever. And so now you're going to have to look someplace else. All right? You see that throughout Scripture where the firstborn is moved out of the way and he goes with the secondborn. All right, Adam. Moved out of the way. Christ. Your natural birthday. Moved out of the way. Spiritual birthday. Moves up. Isaac. Preferred over Ishmael. Jacob. Preferred over Esau. Got it? All right. All right. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Now, this is just everything. Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. The blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You can look at the houses. Spiritual application. What are we?
We are the house.
We are the house. We are, our bodies are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 2, I think, talks about where temple. So you want to apply the blood to the doorpost of your house. All right. Now, Feast of Unleavened Bread, which Roger read. It comes right on the heels of this. All right. So, Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. New stuff now. New stuff. This day shall be a memorial, and ye shall keep it, a feast or a special appointment to the Lord throughout two generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. All right. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put leaven away from your houses. For whosoever eat leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So that second feast of unleavened bread, happens, boom, boom. Passover, boom. Unleavened bread. Cross, boom. Burial. Spiritual application, when you find out you need God, you better make a very quick move to remove the leaven out of your houses. So now I'm going to be doing something, I'm going to be moving into a little bit of unleavened bread at the same time. So, Jewish tradition for unleavened bread. There's something called, a ceremony that they use in Jewish tradition called the Bendikat Hamat. The Bendikat Hamat. I'm going to see if I can remember this from, without having to look at my notes. All right. So, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, mom will hide 10 small pieces of leaven somewhere in the house. And this is called a leaven purging, or a searching for the leaven. And the father and the children will go throughout the house looking for this leaven. The tools that they use to find the leaven, which represents sin, is a candle. So they walk around with a candle with a light that looks for the leaven. They also have a feather and a wooden spoon. So as they search under the beds, in the cabinets or whatever, they use the light, all right, to search for the leaven. Thy word is a unto my feet and a light unto my path. They're using symbolically the word of God is lighting and showing you where the sin is in your house. Jewish tradition. Once they find the leaven, they use the feather. What do you think the feather represents in a spiritual perspective? Feather?
Feather duster?
Like a feather. I don't know if they had feather dusters back then.
Like,
where do feathers come from?
Doves. Holy Spirit.
Boom. Thank you, Sandra. They were a little slow this morning. They had donuts. Sugar kind of blocks the, you know, things in the brain. All right. Oh, there's some oatmeal chocolate muffins.
Muffins.
Yeah.
So.
Chocolate oatmeal. Her sister is a baker extraordinaire.
And
you take the feather and you take the wooden spoon. The light shows you where the leaven is. You take the wooden spoon. You take the feather, and you don't touch the leaven, but you take the feather to brush the leaven onto the wooden spoon. You put it all in a linen napkin. When you have found all the leaven, you put it all in the linen napkin. You take the spoon and the feather and the napkin and the leaven, and you bundle it up, and you put it outside the house, and you burn it.
Wow.
Awesome.
Jewish tradition.
The linen is the wrapping of his body.
Oh, Sandra, you are on it today, girl. You can have the word, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to know how to deal with the leaven in your life. You put all that back on step number one in Luke 9, and you put all that back on that wooden spoon, which represents that wooden cross.
Wow.
And you remove it out of your house. Spiritual application. You can't get close to the God with all that love. Every day I've got to use the Word and the Holy Spirit to see if there's some areas in my life that keep me from where God wants me to be. All right, that's the Benedicat Hamas. That's part of this second feast of unleavened bread. All right. And it's a serious thing because your soul will get cut off. Anyway. All right. 12:16. And the first day there shall be a holy convocation. This is important. It's a holy convocation. It's treated like a Sabbath day. The first day of the 7 days of unleavened bread, that first day on the 15th, is a holy convocation. Got it? Get that in your brain. This is important to understand. All right. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which man must eat, that only may be done of you. All right. Verse 17. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day, here's your appointment. In the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations by ordinance forever. So before this even happens, he's speaking, this is already happening, because it hasn't happened yet. They haven't even killed the Passover lamb yet. He's just giving them instructions, and he's saying, you're going to celebrate this day on the 15th, unleavened bread, because that's the day I set you free. That's the day I bring you out of Egypt, okay? Now,
then Jesus gives us the Last Supper, the communion, to do the new covenant.
That's the Seder, because he's getting ready to bring us out of sin and darkness, all right? So that's why you got a historical aspect here, all right? History, they're following this history, all right? You got to remember what, again, we talked about this last week, you got to remember what all this is talking about. Egypt represents sin and bondage in the world. Pharaoh represents the enemy. Moses represents Christ. If you don't believe that, I've got some scripture there. You don't have to turn to it now, but Deuteronomy 18:15-19. Deuteronomy 18:15-19. God tells Moses and children of Israel, Moses, you're my prophet, but I'm going to raise up another prophet like unto you who will have my spirit and will be from your kinfolk or whatever to lead you the rest of the way. Interesting. If somebody wants to read that, it's fine. If you want to turn it out, you can and read it. And then John chapter 6:14, after he feeds the multitude, the people look at what he's doing and they go, oh, of a truth, this must be the prophet that was talked about in Deuteronomy.
What verse?
John chapter 6, verse 14. And you compare that with Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19.
Deuteronomy
18, 15 through 19. And if somebody reads that and says hallelujah, I know you aren't. And that's not even the most significant thing that I'm going to cover today. You know, I like to say those little mic drops towards the end. Yeah. All right. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, between the evenings, ye shall eat unleavened bread until one and the 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days, there shall be no bread. Not be eating leavened found in your houses. Whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Verse 20, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Now, there is a feast that will allow leaven to be included, but we're not there yet. That's going to be the Feast of Pentecost. All right. Verse 21, this is important. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto him, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. He gives them the instructions. Because instructions without application is crazy. And you got to have knowledge. And that's the thing. I wrote it down someplace, and I think it's Proverbs 1:7. Knowledge is important. You go to school, you get knowledge. Knowledge is the foundation upon which you can start to apply things and draw. But if you don't know it, you can't do it.
We need a teacher.
That's
what they call Jesus, his disciples.
Call him that. Yep. Teacher. All right. Verse 22. This is just kind of makes you go, You should take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out the door until his house until morning. That takes faith. Because if you tell me the death angel is coming around midnight, 10 o'clock, I'm gone. it's going to take a whole lot of faith. I really got to believe in all this word here in order for me to hang around until midnight. I'm just saying. Spiritual application today. There's still people on the run. Will not trust God. Will not wait on God. We'll just keep running.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Oh, no, you can't hide. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, he's going to catch up to you and take you out. All right, anyway.
I don't think I'll run.
Well, I don't run that fast anymore anyway. So I cannot run a bear. I cannot run wild dogs. Hey, and all of them climb trees. So anyway,
Knowing how we humans are, I can just imagine that night, that day and night. Like, there was probably some mamas, like, begging kids, stay in, you know.
Can you imagine? I know we talk about the Hebrews, the Israelites, like people who are just sickles, stiff neck, no faith at all. Can you imagine the level of faith they had to have? Well, you know what? Why else? Where are you going to go?
It was a move of God.
It was a move of God.
In their hearts.
It's a move of faith, but they're in a position where else can you go? Yes. And unfortunately, God puts us in those positions so that we can only look to Him.
And it's just like that today.
It is. But people are still running.
Amen. Well, I mean, he makes it easy. Just stay put.
It is easy. All right.
It's simple.
But it takes.
It's simple.
But when you look at the external circumstances, that can take faith.
It takes faith.
Yep. Now, hyssop is used like a paintbrush. And hyssop is a bushy, insignificant plant, but it's what applies the blood to the. I just said something. A simple, insignificant, something that you would walk past plant is the brush, the humility that you use to apply the blood of the Lamb. And you will see hyssop used over and over again in the scriptures. All right.
It's cleansing.
It is a cleansing plant. Yep. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. See, judgment is bad for the other folk. But judgment sets us free. I want to be on the right side of judgment. I just gave you end time prophecy. Judgment is coming on the earth. I'm excited when it comes. I'm grieved over the ones that are going to be suffering. But, oh, I forgot to tell you this. This is very critical in understanding the feast. The feasts are set times that we're supposed to rehearse or practice. Mm-hmm. Got it? So as we go through this, guess what we're studying? How God practices these feasts. That's why there's a historical significance to what's happening here. All right. Verse 24. And you shall observe this thing in for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Now, this is something that, Roger, I'm always impressed with you and Lauren on this as I see your boys here. This is something that I did not do soon enough when I was raising my kids. It's an ordinance that you give your kids forever. And it shall come to pass, verse 25, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. So even when he brings you out, you need to remember to keep going back and rehearsing these steps. Boom. Verse 26. I love this. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? You'll see this in a Seder meal all the time. They'll ask that question or whatever. It's part of the Seder meal. So the kids are going to ask you questions. The kids, when you apply the blood to the doorpost of your heart, other people, especially your family, should be asking questions like, why are we going to church every Sunday? Why we got to pray before we eat our food? Why do I see you crying out to the Lord in the middle of the day?
Which is why I got saved. It's because I saw my parents in the living room when my dad lost his job. And they asked God what to
Prince.
Do. And then I saw God do it. And so I got married to this man. And I needed God in my life. And I said, I need you for my parents.
I got the credit.
But it wasn't. Jimmy was the most loving, unconditional man in the world. And so was my, but that's why I cried out to God, because I wanted what my parents, I wanted the God of my parents, and I saw God do it.
So you see the power of these scriptures.
Yes. And I said, Mama, why do we have to go to church on Sunday night when the Wizard of Oz is coming on once a year? Mama, why? None of my friends have to do it. Mama, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that?
All right, so somebody needs to mute themselves.
Sorry about
that,
y'all.
No, no.
No, what are you talking about that?
Don't be sorry.
But see, I never heard testimonies like that when I was growing up in church.
No.
I never knew why we were doing some of the stuff that we were doing in church. I mean, they gave me the lofty answer. Well, you know, God and Christ, and I got saved and stuff like that. But this stuff comes for real. And now I got an AARP card, and now I'm finally understanding what I should have been telling my kids.
Right there with you.
So we perish for a lack of knowledge. Man, I'm through with Norm's kids. Norm's kids got all this stuff, but man, I'm jealous. I just started teaching my son Bible study until he was like 14, 15 years old. And he didn't want to hear anything by then. And I had to make him sit down. I'm like, man, I put five of these across your head. You don't sit down and teach him scriptures. I got to make up.
I give you
five of these. Sit down here and listen to Proverbs and understand how to pick a wife and all the rest of this stuff. All right. Anyway. So here we are. And where are we learning this? Exodus. There's some Jewish traditions because they were God's people. They were doing this stuff. So what will happen? When the people will say, hey, what do you mean by all this? Here's what you say, verse 27. And you say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshiped. Mm-hmm. Was that look like application? Hey, why do you do what you do? Why are you praying? Why are you letting? No, because, hey, I'm letting you know that God is my Passover, and he delivered me when I was in bondage, when I was in Egypt, when I lost my job, when I got that bad health report.
He's real. He's real.
So that when it happens to you, you know what to do.
Amen.
Can't rely on the church alone and the Bible study teaching the church alone to teach my kids. Oh, I need somebody to do some stuff. All right.
That's reiterated.
Okay. I'm just trying to be healthy.
Hey, John, mute yourself. I don't care about you trying to be healthy. Alright.
And wean off and make it better.
Man, you don't need to be, as a Jewish feast man, get off that pork, get off the dog, mute yourself. I gotta mute this boy.
You?
No, don't
she
worry about it.
She needed me.
Alright. Okay. Alright. I love verse 28. Powerful. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they.
Yep.
Obedience is the role that we play in our salvation. All right.
Amen. Amen. Obedience is faith.
Amen. Obedience by faith. Yeah. My faith is in my obedience. Amen. Verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight. What day is it? 15. Mm-hmm. They killed the Passover lamb on the 14th and the 15th. At midnight, the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne until the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of captive. Everything. And Pharaoh rose up in the night. What day is it? Still the 15th. Yeah. He and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. But there was not. When do you normally cry?
When you lose somebody.
At the funeral. Unleavened bread. It's the funeral. And there's a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Verse 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron. Oh, judgment's coming. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Now, yeah, I know. You know how people are.
Bless me.
They rely on your faith to get them through rather than learn how to do it themselves. All right. Now, I need some readers. Because this is significant. You got to see what Pharaoh, who represents the enemy, is doing here. And I may not get to my mic dropper. And I don't know. I'm just going kind of slow. Somebody take a look at Exodus 3. Somebody else take a look at Exodus 5. Somebody else take a look at Exodus 8. Somebody else take a look at Exodus 10. Who's got Exodus 3? Let me raise a hand. Somebody got a hand. There's a hand for Exodus 3. Everybody got Exodus 3. Exodus 3 there. Exodus 5. We need Exodus 5. Somebody got Exodus 5. Then 100 Exodus 5. Exodus 8. Exodus 8. Exodus 10. Turn to Exodus 3. Oh, whoever's got Exodus 3? You're going to read verse 17 to 19. 17 to 19, Exodus 3.
The internet must have issues.
You need to mute yours.
Thank you, Sandra. The boy don't listen to me. He's like a child. Go ahead.
He's fine.
17 to 19,
Exodus
3. All right. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, and to the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites.
Yep.
And the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey.
Ooh, the promised land. Thank you.
Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand.
You want to highlight that. He's giving you the nature and the scouting report of the enemy that still is in play today. You go to Pharaoh, you go to the devil, and you say, hey, I'm going to church today or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Key point there. They're making the request to Pharaoh, we're going to go 3 days' journey to get to where we need to be to worship God. Because it's going to take 3 days for them to get to where God wants them to be. It's going to take 3 days. What happens in 3 days when Christ hits the grave?
Resurrection.
In 3 days they cross the Red Sea. 3 day journey. I know. Wow. And I ain't even got to the good stuff yet. Who's got Exodus 5? Read verses 1 through 3.
Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.
So they can have a special appointment day. We got an appointment in the wilderness with God. Come on.
And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.
Okay. Again, Pharaoh let him go. So a bunch of, you know the story. A bunch of things going to happen to Pharaoh. Got it? Got it. Okay. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25 through 32.
25
through 32.
Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God in the land.
Yay!
And Moses said, it is not right to do so.
Wait a minute. Keep going. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
For we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then they will not stone us.
Okay, stop. Pharaoh says, hey, I'm taking a beating over here. Yes, you can go. But don't go too far. You can worship God. Right here in Egypt. End time prophecy. The church is going to become, thank God for Asbury, because the real church ain't going to look like Asbury. Oh, excuse me. The Antichrist church ain't going to look like Asbury. Pharaoh, the devil, says, you don't have to go anywhere. You can worship God right here in Egypt. You can worship right here. And Moses says, ooh, no. Because once we start doing what God wants us to do, it's going to be an abomination to the folk around here. They'll kill us if we try to have church in the world.
So the enemy wants the church just to become like the world, and do it all right like the
it's
world.
It's our pastor. Go on, girl. That's it.
And that's what we've done.
That's what we're doing.
Now God's going to break through.
Pretty much.
And we're going to have to repent, and we're going to have to turn, and we're going to have to worship God in the way He wants us to worship.
Egyptian church is a trick of the enemy. It is a compromise.
Yes.
And we compromise. But Moses knew better. All right, keep reading. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get to the good stuff. Go ahead.
We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness.
We ain't found here. We got some appointments we got to make. We're going to go 3 days. We're out of here. Let's go.
3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He will command us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness.
Yes.
Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me.
Yeah. Okay, so the devil ain't got a problem with you at all. Would prefer you, if you just got to worship the Lord, do it in the world. Do it while you're still in bondage. Oh, you ain't going to go for that? Tell you what, I'll let you go out to the wilderness. Don't go too far. It don't. Application for today. It don't take all that. Just go to church. It don't take Bible study. Just go to church. You ain't got to do Wednesday night. Just go to church. You ain't got to pray. Just it don't take
Easter and Christmas.
Yeah, you have to go to church on Easter and Christmas. Don't say Easter, that's a bad word. Do you get it? I fell for that so many times. Woo! I'm doing better than what I was. I'm in church. That's good enough. Just don't go. I know. I didn't know it at the time, though, Matt. Just don't go too far. You know why I didn't know it any further? You know why I didn't know it, Matt, before? Because nobody broke this down to me like this.
Amen.
Nobody broke. My parents didn't know this to be able to break it down to me like this. All right. I'm sorry, Beth. Keep reading.
And I thought it was interesting. Pharaoh asked Moses to pray for him, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he ain't going to repent.
Then Moses said, "Indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice for the Lord."
So it's a deceit. Yeah. Okay. Exodus 10. I'm not going, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to Matthew. Well, I'll try anyway. Oh, go ahead. All right. Exodus 10.
What verses?
8 and 11.
8 what?
8 and 11.
8 and 11.
Yep. 8 through 11.
So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And
again. Said, yes.
Go serve the Lord your God. And who are the ones that are going?
Yes.
And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." And he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you go, let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, and who are men, and serve. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence.
Okay, so here's what he just did. Who's going out to serve the Lord? Who's going out to serve the Lord? Everybody.
Even the cattle.
Even my cattle, which is back then
your wealth.
Everything going out. My kids, my family, my checkbook, my finances. Everything's going out. And he says, "Ooh, but it's dangerous out there. You can go out like you said we did." He clearly lied. "But too dangerous for your kids. Leave the kids back here." That's a hard journey. "Leave the kids back here, and you can go and do what you need to do." Why are you doing that?
So they keep the grip on them.
So they have to come back. Keep the grip on them. Devil doesn't care how far you go. Just come on back when you're through. That's why you see people going to church on Sunday, look all good, and by the time Wednesday comes, they're out there in the street acting stupid.
It's a good reminder to parents to intercede for your children.
Yeah.
And not for yourself.
And that's why last week I told you I had really missed this, because I'm in church. I named my child David because, you know, I wanted him to be a man after God's own heart, but I was so concerned him turning into the next Willie Mays or the next Michael Jordan or whatever. That I always had to come back to Egypt because I wanted him to be great in the world rather than great in the kingdom. And then it hit me. The enemy is using the world and the enticements of the world and what I want my kids to achieve in the world to keep me from getting to where God really wants me to be. And if I really want my kids to be great, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you anyway. But you got to see God first.
Amen.
I want to get it through God rather than get it through my own self-efforts. I'm not trying to be like Mickey Mantle's dad. Or Pete Maravich's dad. All right. We're out of time. But I promised you I was going to give you a mic dropper, so let me just go and do that. Anybody got any questions? Because I'm going kind of fast. I don't know. Is this anything that... Has anybody ever heard this before? Has anybody ever seen this before?
I don't know.
And we're in Exodus.
Well, it's on page 9. All right.
All right. So, let me do this. I'm going to turn to Matthew 27. We're still not through with Exodus. We got to go back to Exodus 12 because there's going to be some stuff in there that's going to blow your mind away. But I told you, I'm going to give you a mic drop. I always like to try to give you a mic drop. And that way, if I do that, you might get excited. You might want to come back again next Monday. All right, here we go. So Matthew 27 talks about the crucifixion, Judas, and all the rest of this stuff. And we'll talk about him during Yom Kippur. And then Pilate. You know what? You got to be careful what your religious and political leaders say. Because they had the people crying for Barabbas rather than Christ. Woo! And as I was just kind of skimming through that today, trying to get to where I really wanted to go in Matthew 27, I'm just wondering, does that happen today?
Where have you been?
I'm just wondering. I mean, this is just thousands of years ago. I'm just kind of wondering here. All right. Slide down if you would. Well, just look at verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Wow. And they still do it today. All right. Okay.
Did you catch that?
Verse 27.
The priests and the elders.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered him unto the whole band of soldiers. Oh, by the way, the chief priests ain't nowhere near this. They have a separate conversation with Pilate because they could not be in the judgment hall because God forbid that they defile themselves before their religious ceremonies. We too close to having church, so we'll have to deal with you out here because we're not going into the Gentile Roman judgment hall. That does still happen today, though, right?
Yeah.
People ain't more concerned about religion than relationship, right? Okay, let me just keep going. All right. Verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and then they platted a crown of thorns they put on his head, and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him upon the head or whatever. And I had a conversation with somebody. Oh, I'm really late now. I had a conversation with somebody, and they said, why do you have to go through that? Why not just die? I said, no, because that removes all excuse. Well, I don't want to act right because, you know, they lied on him. Well, they lied on him. They spit on him. But it spit on him. They disrespected him. They disrespected him. We don't have an excuse to not pick up our cross and follow him. Got no excuse to continue to remain in Egypt. All right. The crucifixion. Oh, man, I'm going to be late for my day. Y'all just pray for me. I don't get a ticket. Matthew 27:33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, where they crucified him at. Mm-hmm. Jewish tradition. Why the place of the skull? Jewish tradition says, some theories say, remember when David fought Goliath?
Mm-hmm. That was it.
And he cut off his head, mm-hmm. and he brought it back to Jerusalem. I wonder where he buried it. I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Golgotha.
Because Golgotha is one of the mountains, ranges, hills around Jerusalem. Oh, and then you go all the way back to Genesis and said, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. You got to remember, God is always practicing, rehearsing, placing the skull. Anyway.
You've dropped the mic about three times, four times.
Oh, he's getting ready to get rolled on the floor here in a minute. verse 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled. You got to realize the whole Bible is about prophecy. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. I don't know which prophet this was. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So some of what's happening to him is the fulfillment of Scripture so that we would be easier to believe. Verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. Let's move on. Verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, religious leaders, mocking him, and the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. No, he won't. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. Somebody needs to turn to Psalm 22. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, when I was growing up, I used to hear a lot of preachers explain what's going on. A lot of Bible study teachers tell me what's going on there. Because sin separates us from God. He's the Son of God. And so Jesus is crying out because in his agony, it's not so much the agony that he's going through physically, but the greater agony was the separation that he's feeling from God if he has all the sin of the world upon him. And God turns his back from the Son because the sin is upon him. And that might be true. I'm not saying they weren't true because God doesn't look on sin. I got it. I understand that. But there's something that has always bothered me in my spirit about that, because if he's Jesus and he's the Son of God and he knows all about God, he's the Father, doesn't he know how this all ends?
But still, he had to go through it.
I know he had to go through it.
He's still human.
But if he's still human, but... And I get it, and maybe that's true because God doesn't look on sin, but he still went down and visited Adam in the cool of the day in the garden.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in my studies, I don't know if somebody told me this, I'm not that smart, they probably did. They said, you know what? They didn't have Matthew Henry commentaries back then. They didn't have a concordance or a table of contents back then. But what they did do in Jewish tradition was, if somebody referred to the first lines of a passage of Scripture, that meant read the rest of it. Somebody turn to Psalm 22. Read what it says.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Stop right there. I don't think he's crying out because God has forsaken him. I think in the midst of his agony, he's having Bible study at the cross.
Ooh, yeah.
There's your mic drop.
Amen.
He's saying, you're making fun of me, but let me take you back to the Scriptures, and let's have Bible study, and let me explain to you what's happening. Somebody keep reading Psalm 22, if you would, as I get ready to wrap up and go.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the world I have grown you. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. And in the night season, and I am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me, and that's a capital M. They shoot out the lip, they shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me. Me capitalized out of the womb, and you made me trust on my mother's breast. I will cast upon you from earth, from my mother's womb. You have made me God. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan. Have insulted me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me.
Congregation
they
of the wicked.
My hands and my feet.
Ooh.
I can't count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name in my, to my brethren.
Come on.
In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. All and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be on you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear me. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. The kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, and those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep him alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this.
Ooh, that's like a revival happening.
You just told them the plan of God from the cross, and they would have known in their religious exercise, and in their religion, they would have known Psalm 22 and the psalmist and the prophet and David who is saying this. It's a prophetic psalm. And it's a psalm that he's saying, while you're laughing at me and making fun of me, let me tell you what's really happening. The fulfillment of the scriptures. And while you're thinking that, hey, why don't you just come down now? I'm following these scriptures, and this ain't the last time you're going to see. This ain't the last time. I'm going to get up from this. So you can believe what you want to believe. But Jesus so loved the world that he's giving his life and he's giving him the word at the cross. The mic's just rolling around on the floor. And I still got some other good stuff for you, but I'm going to have to give it to you next week. We'll pick up at Exodus 12 again. All right, I got to go. Somebody say...
Okay, God.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this lesson. We pray, Lord God, for everybody. And, Lord, thank you.
Chuck,
your word is true.
Know,
amen.
Do not exceed the speed limit.
All right, I'll see what I can do.